Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network.
Hey, I figured I wouldn't cut her off that time, so you're welcome. Welcome back in to You Better You Bet It, as she said, with Kevin Kenny out there in Jersey. I'm in Kansas City. I am Sean Levine, and we were just wrapping up a very important conversation, which had nothing to do with lines or even football, but it was, these pens are fine, but what happened to the old school pens that you could find? I think they probably went away in, like, say, 1991 to 1994, in that range. You know what I'm talking about, Kevin, with, like, the red and the blue and the green? What happened to those things?
Dude, as Sean was just saying, we were just talking about this off air. What a great utensil. What a versatile utensil. And for it to just go extinct, I don't understand.
Maybe it's crazy. Just extinct in our world. I wonder if you actually went like to a store in the pen department and looked specifically for that, or asked somebody if they would say, bro, go to aisle 7 or go back to 1994. Like, you're going to get an answer one way or another. But I haven't seen those things in a long time. Anyway, I could use one when I'm writing down my notes for the night game. But before we do that, at the very beginning, like right when we kicked off the show, I was going to ask you guys, hey, did you lay down any money on this early game? So I told you what I did, right? Which is typical of me. I slept in a little bit late. It's Thanksgiving. I watched the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and then I put down my bet a little bit late. And unfortunately, my bet, I just found out, did not hit. That's the problem with a parlay, as we all know, is that it's fun when you know you're going to hit one side of it, and you're just kind of wondering what's going to happen with the other one until you lose on a literal last second field goal. So yeah, I had the Lions on the money line, didn't even need the points, which in hindsight, Kevin, I guess those points look a little bit better now after losing on a walk-off field goal. The Lions lose once again, like they always do, damn it, to the Bears. Once again, the Lions fall on Thanksgiving Day, and my bet falls along with them.
I can hear the pain in your voice, Sean. This is a hard one for you.
I'm going to try not to cry only because it's the first show, but I guarantee you that I'm dying a little bit inside. All right, we'll talk about some of the other games coming up as the show rolls along. We got plenty of time. The Titans and Patriots is one game that I had my eye on because it feels like before last week when somehow, some way, the Titans went out there and lost a football game, which they hadn't done in a month and a half. It's like, okay, they're human. They need Derrick Henry. There's a lot of reasons to make up excuses, even though they still have the best record in the AFC. If the playoffs started tomorrow, they'd be the one seed. That would be a safe bet. For who? Nobody's going to put their money on the Tennessee Titans. And then you look at the Patriots, and it's like, well, hold on. The Patriots are what? They're leading what division? Their head coach is still who? If I ask you right now, you got a free $100 bill, and you can either put it down on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl, or you can put it down on the Titans to win the Super Bowl. By the way, these two teams go at it on Sunday. Titans a 6-point road dog at the Patriots. No lines. Everybody's in full health. Who are you putting your money on?
Oh, it's a no-brainer for me. I mean, and it comes down to the quarterback play. You got Mac Jones, who's like might historically be the most uncharacteristic rookie quarterback. I mean, the lack of mistakes this guy makes is remarkable. And then you have Tannehill across the aisle on the Titans side, who I believe is leading the league right now in interceptions. He had 4 last week against the Houston Texans, who are, again, not world beaters by any means. And I think that's also sort of where my pick for this game is, where I'm super cool laying the 6. I mean, what are we getting right now at Bet Rivers? Do we have the line on the game?
Yeah, you're getting,
I was
yeah, you're
6.
Getting, yeah, you're getting 6. You're getting 6. The over-under is 44.5. And I think I'm with you when it comes to both this game short term and when it comes to long term. Like, I think that, as you can see right now, you can play the money line at plus 240 if you want to do that with the underdog Titans. I am not comfortable doing that, Adam. I don't know about you out there in Vegas. I think that I'm more willing to lay the points than play the money line.
Yeah, this is a game I'm probably ultimately going to stay away from. My lean would be to go kind of against the grain with the Titans and say that was about as game as they can play last week. Like, that market was ready for them to come right down, and they did. But I can't keep forgetting what they did the few weeks prior. They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Bills. They beat the Colts in overtime. They went and beat the Rams on the road. Yes, they had Derrick Henry for some of that time, so I'm not blind to that fact. They've been operating without Julio Jones as well. But this week, we know that A.J. Brown's health is a question mark. If they don't have A.J. Brown, there's no way I can take those points with Tennessee. Look, the advanced numbers love New England right now. Love the Patriots as much as you could love one team. That being said, Atlanta was a few weird breaks from covering that game last week. So I'm hanging out and sitting back and watching this one.
Kevin, when you said Mac Jones, all that I could think of was back in college when I saw Mike Jones back in concert. Remember Mike Jones, the old Houston rapper? Who? Mike Jones, 218-330-80. Look, I think that Mac Jones has a good chance to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. And I think that the Patriots, we kind of found out last year, guys, go as their quarterback does, right? They had Cam Newton. He put up terrible stats. They didn't win a ton of football games. Now, all of a sudden, you look up, their quarterback's playing well, probably going to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. Now they have an actual chance to win that division. I say that. Is that a real thing? Like, I know we still got a half a dozen games left in the season, but for the Buffalo Bills, who literally 2 weeks ago were the favorite in Las Vegas and the favorite on BetRivers.com to win the Super Bowl, all of a sudden, a couple of weeks later, are we sure that the Buffalo Bills are even going to win the division? Who ends up taking the East? Is it New England, like it most always is my entire life, or is it going to be the Buffalo Bills?
If I'm betting right now, I mean, it's New England for me. I just think they're playing incredibly disciplined football. They have a quarterback there that, again, down the stretch, when you have a quarterback that doesn't make mistakes, that protects the football, by and large. I mean, that is to me, the zero sum game down the stretch later in the season. And again, you look across the aisle at Josh Allen, not playing the best right now. The team overall, not playing the best right now. Not a good time to be going through this skid. Again, I hope they can turn it around tonight in New Orleans. But for me, my money, I would put it on New England today.
Kevin, were you at the Mike Jones concert back in Lawrence, Kansas when I was in college? Because, I mean, it sounds like, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, that you like Mac Jones every bit as much as you like Josh Allen. Is that just a now thing, or is that a I would take him over the other guy thing?
Well, I'll even raise you one. I like Mac Jones as much as I used to like Mike Jones. I actually have a Mike Jones t-shirt that maybe when we come back from break, I can show you. I'm not even kidding you. I have the Mike Jones classic still tipping t-shirt because I'm a huge music head. But I mean, right now, I mean, what quarterback is protecting the ball better than Mac Jones? I mean, in the NFL, again, at that age, is just remarkable. I'm not saying he's like, you know, of course I'm going to take an Aaron Rodgers, or there's quarterbacks I would take, of course, ahead of Mac Jones there. But I mean, Josh Allen's not looking like, you know, anything special the past couple weeks. Again, Adam, fingers crossed, but I bet on tonight.
I'd be shocked, Adam, if you bust out a Mike Jones shirt in the next segment. I got your dinner for the next week if somehow you can pull that one off. Where in the lineage behind Patrick Mahomes, when we talk about young, great quarterbacks in the NFL, do you have the aforementioned, not Mike, but Mac Jones?
Listen, I'm not going to tell you I have the t-shirt. But if you want me to pull out some game lyrics, like, we can do that. And we got a little Mike Jones in there. So I'll do I need to do to hang with you guys. I'm not, listen, I can't be the stand that you guys are, but I'll try to hang. Yeah, I mean, look, when we look at young quarterbacks in the NFL right now, Mac Jones went into a great situation, much the same way Tom Brady went into a great situation. You have a head coach who has a system that leads to you being able to grow by having a road grading offensive line, and B, a running game that supports you to where you're going to see some heavier boxes. If you're Mac Jones, you're going to see more defenders up near the line, and Mac Jones isn't being asked to do a lot. And I think I'm not calling him a system quarterback, but the system is certainly helping him. So, you know, Patrick Mahomes,
again,
who I would absolutely want to start a team with.
I think when it comes to the Buffalo Bills, you can say, well, at some point they're going to get it right. They're going to become that team that's a juggernaut. They've got all the talent in the world. They played in the AFC Championship game last year, but kind of like we were saying earlier, Kevin, for whatever reason, they're not clicking on all cylinders. The over-under in that game is 44.5. You want to talk about a difficult thing to bet. It's the Tennessee Titans and the total. Because if you look at half their games, their offense is great. And it doesn't necessarily coincide with when they have Derrick Henry or not. They can put up 30. They've had a couple of games where they put up a 40 spot. And they've had a couple of games where they can barely get in the end zone. So if I see that New England defense, I'm just going to assume that Tennessee has one of those games where their offense isn't great. And I'm going to play the unders pretty comfortably in that one at 44.5.
That's interesting. I think there's a case to be made for the over. If you are an overs guy and you want to play the over here, I think Mac Jones is really poised to have a huge day on Sunday. Titans didn't even record a sack last week against the Houston Texans. Zero pressure on the quarterback and also didn't force a turnover. It's not good when you're playing a quarterback again like Jones, not to beat it, you know, the horse again, that does not really turn the ball over. It's great. And then you also think about, for whatever reason, this is interesting, you know, a little factoid to think about heading into this game. They've already lost to a rookie quarterback in Zach Wilson and the Jets. So for whatever reason, you know, they've seemingly struggled against these young quarterbacks. So I think that with that said, you're not going to put pressure on Mac Jones. He has all day back there. And a guy that doesn't turn the ball over, I think that he could be putting up some points. And also, I mean, the Patriots, last time we saw them at home, I mean, like, it was a scoring fest against the Browns.
Right, but the Patriots defense, if you paid attention, so they've won 5 games in a row, right? And it's not because necessarily Mac Jones that we've now talked about so much, or Bill Belichick, or anybody on that side of the ball. Their defense, Adam, has been unbelievable. Their last 3 games, they've outscored their opponents 94-13, which is why I was saying I feel pretty comfortable playing New England on the unders right now. And it's not necessarily about who their opponent is. It's just about that defense that they got on the field. This is as good of a Bill Belichick defense that has played over a 3-game stretch as he's ever had.
And look, if I'm the tie-breaking vote here, then my vote goes for the under. And that's been the movement on this game. We've seen this game come down a little bit. And my feel on that is both what you just said, Sean. Talk about that New England defense, which, pick any metric you want. They are rated as highly as could be. The addition of Matthew Judon, Josh Uche has been really great for them on the pass rush. But you also look at this Tennessee offense and say, okay, no Derrick Henry, no Julio Jones, and possibly no A.J. Brown, and say, what are they going to be able to do to move the football? They don't have any of their playmakers. And so I don't know that New England is going to play a game to run up the scoreboard necessarily. Again, there's enough noise in this one that I'm sitting out entirely. But if I'm betting with your money, I'll play the under.
Well, if you're betting with my money, keep it in your pocket. You can use your own. When it comes to the New England Patriots, try this one on for size, guys. They've lost 4 games. We all know that. They're 7-4 at the top of the AFC East. But if you pull out a microscope, or wait, is that a stethoscope or a microscope? Stethoscope, microscope. If I got that thing out and I'm looking through it, 3 of their 4 losses, 1 point, 2 points, and an overtime. So we're talking about a team that could be a 1-loss Patriots team. And then we got everybody scared, and we're talking about them being at the top with the Chiefs in Tampa as the Super Bowl favorites. We'll keep talking about the futures when we go back to the futures coming up about an hour from now. But up next, we get back into that Cowboys-Raiders game. We talk Giants and Philly, Jets and Houston, Tampa and Indy, all coming up next right here.
You're locked in. How should you bet tonight's player props? The Prop King, Nick Costos, has your answers on You Better You Bet from BetQL. It's You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network.
What? I was hoping to get some fofos I'm tipping, wood grain I'm gripping, but did you get the shirt, by the way? You being serious?
Do
you really have that shirt?
My first time on BetQL, I want everyone to know I'm a man of my word. I don't know if my picks are good or not. When I say I got a t-shirt, I got a t-shirt. Check it out.
What is it?
Mike Jones.
That is
sick. Look at this guy.
That is sick.
Apparently, you can still call him, by the way. Apparently.
There's no way the number works.
I swear to God. I swear to God.
Look, I tried to call the number back, what are we talking about, 15, 18 years ago when that song was hot, and it was just a recording. Like, I think it was asking for some
money,
a donation.
Bold move, just giving out your phone number like that.
Can you imagine being the guy that's
like giving out his phone number?
It's one person to end up with, like, you know, somebody's phone that gets a lot of phone calls. You know, it's another thing to end up with Mike Jones' old phone. So maybe it does work. I don't know. Like, there's no way that they're still using that. Hopefully, wherever he is and wherever you are, y'all are having a great Thanksgiving. We got Adam Candy in Vegas, Kevin Kenny out there on the East Coast in Jersey. I am Sean Levine in Kansas City. This week, of course, all about family, friends, food, and betting on football. My friends at Bet River Sportsbook are your Thanksgiving weekend football betting powerhouse. They got the best odds with boosts beginning at the noon game. Already done. Busted me. I had the unders taken care of and half my parlay on the money line with the Lions. And if you can't tell, I'm not over it. But I got action coming up next. It's also rivalry weekend in college football. Bet Rivers is going to hook you up with a 20% parlay profit boost to use on any of those Saturday matchups. Plus, if you're looking to kick it up a notch, you can now create your ideal betting combo. Those are so much fun. So much fun. You can create whatever bets you want right now with the same game feature, and they're adding more and more parlay props for pro and college football for the biggest games of the season, which are all right around the corner. Make the best of this great football weekend. Download the app or check them out at betrivers.com and start betting with a winner. Bet River Sportsbook, your hometown sportsbook. All right, guys, I'm going to try to get over that early loss. Coming up in just a little bit, we got the Cowboys and the Raiders. Will keep you updated on the happenings of that football game. You guys got any action on that one? Because before anything serious happens, like, I'm thinking about just making a lie. Once I lose painful early, I like sit on my hands for a little while. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let this thing get going. I'm going to make a live bet or two. So we'll keep you updated on the betrivers.com live bets. What do you guys got going on in this next game, Cowboys and Raiders?
I'm going over. I'm going with the over here. I'm not touching the spread again. If you're watching right now and you want to, you're looking for, you know, a trend to look at, I do think the play is Raiders plus 7.5. Both of the Cowboys against the spread losses this year have come to AFC West teams for whatever that's worth. You also looked at some other trends in terms of spread. Raiders are 4-1 against the spread in their last five games as a road underdog. And then Cowboys are only 5-11 against the spread in their last 16 Thursday games. So I think there's a play to be had there. But the over is just absolutely, for me, the play here at 50.5, you can get it. Overs 9-4-1, Raiders last 14 versus a team with a winning record, 11-4-1 in their last 16 games as an underdog. Overs also 5-2 in Cowboys last 7 Thursday games. Overs 8-3 in Cowboys last 11 games as a home favorite. So you look to the trends. If you're a trends better, I happen to be. I put a lot of value in those numbers and those statistics, and they all point to this going over 50.5.
Adam, you're out there in Vegas, and I think that we agree, Kevin and I, that no matter who wins, if you play the money line, I can't bet the Raiders. My hand won't let me. I told you. We do think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this football game.
Yeah, and I kind of lean the other way with this one. I don't know that this is going to be a shootout. I don't know that the Cowboys are going to play much of an up-tempo game without their top two receivers. I think this is the kind of game where you see Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard get a lot of carries, let the pace of this game sort of grind down a little bit. Raiders obviously have not been great offensively. They haven't hit 20 points in any of their last three games. And so, I lean a little less toward the trends. And I think what I see right now, at least with the Raiders side of things, is that the offense without Henry Ruggs hasn't been all that explosive. What I have done in this game, so I did take the points with the Raiders. I don't have a play on the total, so obviously my conviction's not that strong. But I do have Derek Carr not to throw an interception. I think that is a trend, even though he's thrown an interception in four straight, that is going to come down the other way in this game. I think both teams are going to try to play this a little conservative.
The prop I like in this one on the defensive side for the Cowboys, Trayvon Diggs, guys, at plus 250 to get an interception on his way to double digits. He's already got 8 of those with 6 games left. It's just crazy numbers. When it comes to Dallas, though, Kevin, it's not really about the defense. It's about the offense. And so far, right now, by almost every statistical category, they've got the best offense in the NFL. But as Adam pointed out, they're without CeeDee Lamb today. It just kind of feels like by the numbers, they're great. But every now and again, the offense looks like it did against the Chiefs last Sunday, where they just can't put up a lot of points.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure everybody in Dallas, Texas is hoping they can turn it around right now. It's been such an interesting NFL year where, again, like these top two teams in both conferences, be it Dallas in the NFC or the Buffalo Bills in the AFC, have just been on these weird skids the past couple of weeks. And I think this is it's funny. When you get deeper into the season, I think a lot about hunger, and, that's probably a polarizing, inquantifiable, intangible thing to factor into when you're wagering on these games. But who would be the hungrier team? Because when you look at it, you know, I think the Raiders are super hungry for a win, super hungry for redemption, super hungry to get on, on track. And that's certainly the commentary and the quotes coming out of that camp this week in the press. That's seemingly where they're at. They're hungry. They're talking about soul. They're talking about heart. And I'm not getting those comments. I'm not getting those quotes coming out of people like Dak Prescott or Jerry Jones or people in the Dallas organization. So I'm going to lean towards the hungrier team here, perceptually, in my opinion, which would be the Raiders to have a day. But who knows? Dallas might be pretty hungry, too, because they're not really in the driver's seat really anymore in the NFC.
Adam, do you remember Millie Vanilli?
Oh, don't forget my number.
Okay. Blame it on the rain. Yay. Okay, look, man. You know what they were? They were fake. They were frauds. They didn't really exist. I think they won a damn Grammy. Everybody thought they were good until they weren't, and then they were nothing. What I'm trying to tell you is that's the Raiders. Like, if you bought into the Raiders, then you bought into Millie Vanilli back in the day, which I may have the CD. But that's really nearly here nor there. The Raiders are Milli Vanilli, man. They're fake. We knew that, right?
But see, we've known that about the Raiders for the last 3 years. We were surprised by Milli Vanilli. We didn't know that it was the producer on the track. And then they took the Grammy away from them, which, hey, that's what they had to do. You had no choice. You got to take it away from them. The Raiders, look, they were 5-2, and then the Gruden thing hit, and then the Ruggs thing hit. And they're looking like they have for the last 3 years. They have just fallen apart down the stretch here. They still have a number of difficult games on their schedule. I just think that this version of the Cowboys and what we saw from this version of that offense last week against Kansas City, I don't have the conviction to bet the Raiders on the money line here, but I do think that the Raiders have enough to hang within a touchdown.
Guys, talking about the Cowboys, let's stay in that division in the NFC East coming up on Sunday. You got Philly, a 3.5-point dog on the road at the New York Giants. Now, this is weird because I think the biggest question is not necessarily about this game. The over-under is 46. It's about the future of the quarterback position for both of these teams. And do either one of these teams have their actual quarterback? Because it feels like they like their guy, but they don't love him. And Kevin, you know, I'm sure you've been in those type of relationships. If you don't love him, if you don't love her, it's over with. Break it up and find the one that you're going to go to the altar with. And I'm saying right now, and I don't mean this offensive to either Jalen Hurts or Daniel Jones, y'all are both great bridesmaids. You're both great backups, but I ain't going to get married to either one of those dudes. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, I think Hurts is kind of turning it around. I mean, I was actually one of my prop bets for this game was anytime touchdown score for Jalen Hurts. If he rushes one in this Sunday, he'll tie Michael Vick for the all-time Eagles quarterback rushing record. But I am with you, and it's so funny you went to the relationship analogy here with this situation because I was thinking in terms of, you know, when you got that friend and every single time it doesn't work out with their significant other and it's always, oh, they were crazy or they were dramatic or they were the problem. And then at a certain point, you got to sit that friend down and you got to go, no, dude, I think you're the problem, right? And you look at Daniel Jones and the New York Giants, Jason Garrett being fired this week. This is now the second coach fired under Daniel Jones. At what point do you say, hey, maybe Daniel Jones is the problem? Maybe it's not Jason Garrett. Maybe it isn't these people from the past that have been let go at the Giants organization.
Adam, you on that too? It's not you, it's me. It's more about the big picture.
Okay.
I mean, blame is always a good way to go. Every relationship I've ever been in, I just blame and get the hell out of there. It seems it's worked out fine for me.
And look at the three of us sitting here alone on Thanksgiving. Everything's going great. Look, full disclosure. I am a New York Giants fan. So I don't know that I can give you an unbiased opinion on Daniel Jones, but to use your analogy,
Daniel, he knew what he was about to say was going to be such BS that it cut him out. Did you notice that, Kevin? Like whatever he's about to compliment Daniel Jones, because to me, Daniel Jones is a guy that you look back at the draft pick and you say, we spent such a high draft pick with this guy. You got to play him. You're paying him a little bit. But the future, I think the writing is on the wall at the quarterback position. And maybe not for Jalen Hurts because he hasn't obviously gotten as long of a leash just yet. But for Daniel Jones, I believe that we've seen enough.
Yeah, well, I just want to go on the record and blame Daniel Jones for Adam's connection issues today. Because as I was saying that Daniel Jones is the problem, there we go again, right? The common denominator there. In terms of – now, the question was the between Daniel Jones and Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts is absolutely turning a corner. I think it's interesting, the bridesmaid analogy. I think early on, he left a lot to be desired, and he was sort of like, for a little bit there during the season, he almost seemed to be like the king of the garbage time touchdown, where like, oh sure, he wound up with a nice stat line, but like if you really watch that game, I think of like the Tom Brady Tampa Bay Bucks game. It's like, those are meaningless touchdowns, but you can't, statistically speaking, he's one of the better rushing quarterbacks in Eagles history, and they've had some really good rushing quarterbacks of the franchise, and they just seem to be clicking, And in terms of where they're going, where they're headed versus the Giants, it's really a tale of two very different teams heading into Sunday.
Doesn't it feel though, Adam, that you're in a pretty bad position, maybe the worst position a franchise can be in? If you've got a guy like a Jalen Hurts or a Daniel Jones, and just kind of follow me here, if you've got one of the elite quarterbacks and you're in good shape, you got a chance to win the Super Bowl. If you've got one of the bad quarterbacks, then at least you're going to get a high draft pick and be able to build your team. But if you've got a guy like Daniel Jones or a guy like Jalen Hurts, doesn't it kind of put a ceiling on where you could go, not just this season, for the next couple of years?
Without question. There's zero question about that. You cannot take a guy with a ceiling like a Daniel Jones especially and go anywhere. And that's why I'm so upset at the slander I had to listen to when my connection cut out, that I was about to defend Daniel Jones. My God, there's nothing I would rather sit here with you guys and have no turkey, no food, no stuffing, no cranberry, no nothing the rest of the day, and just sit here and then say nothing positive about Daniel Jones. Never. You can't go anywhere. Jalen Hurts, I actually agree with Kevin a little bit. I do think that there is a path for Jalen Hurts to be a good quarterback in the NFL because the rushing ability does give him such a second weapon. They really have not been completely healthy in the receiving core this year. I like what Devontae Smith brings to the table. I'd like to see them be able to involve him continuously a little bit more. But on the Daniel Jones side, look, to use your analogy, Sean, let's go ahead and say that Dave Gettleman, the GM for the Giants, like he was on his dating app and he didn't mean to.
I think what he's about to say is he would rather have Mike Jones than Daniel Jones as the quarterback for the Giants at this point. Let's stay in New York. The Jets go on the road to Houston. Houston coming off a win against Tennessee that kind of came out of nowhere. They were a huge, almost 2-touchdown underdog in that game. They basically dominated the entire way. Houston is now a home favorite, a 2.5-point favorite against the New York Jets coming up on Sunday. The over-under in that game is 44. You know what this game is, Kevin? This is the battle for what should be the number one pick if it wasn't for the Lions. Remember like an hour ago we were having the conversation, why do we have to suffer with the Lions on Thanksgiving? Like there's not an alternative. You can't give me like a peewee team. You can't give me some sort of a 6A high school team playing. I got to watch the Lions. And now the Lions, like they do every other year, are going to end up with the number one overall pick, which screws us in this game because, in my opinion, the New York Jets at Houston, the only reason to watch is to find out who's going to end up with the number two pick in that game. I said number two.
I remember back in the day, I don't know if you have this memory of, they called it, they literally marketed this game back in 2005 as the Reggie Bush Bowl. Back when people thought he was going to go number one before Mario Williams did in the 06 draft. And it was the Houston Texans and the 49ers. It was the last game of the year. I mean, it was just, a toilet bowl, as they'd say. I think this is, in terms of this game, terrible week for Zach Wilson to come back. Houston Texans are giving opposing quarterbacks a lot of problems lately. Picked off Jacoby Brissett twice 2 weeks back. Forced a fumble in that Miami game. And then last week, just absolutely ate Tannehill alive. 4 picks. I believe a career high for Tannehill in a single game. So good luck to Zach Wilson on who's going to inevitably be shaking off rust. And then from an offensive standpoint, no turnovers last week for Houston, which is pretty impressive. And then they've had trouble with that in the past. And you combine that with the fact that Jets are 0-4 on the road this year. I think an interesting prop play would be whatever the hell the line is on Zach Wilson's interceptions and taking the over on that. And then if you do want to touch about the total in this game, I think the over is interesting. Jets are over 6-1 in their last 7 as a dog. And then also Texans are 5-1 towards the over in their last 6 home games.
On the other side, we're going to talk about Tampa Bay. Can they get back in the winning category against maybe the hottest team in the NFL right now? They're on the road at the Indianapolis Colts coming up on Sunday. With Adam Candy in Vegas, Kevin Kenny out in Vegas, I am Sean Levine right here on the BetQL Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.